energy of it, and it's something that kind of builds through the show. It's not something like that hits you over the head, but once it gets there, it kind of sticks. So hang in with us and see if it happens for you.
By the way, just to interject, I forgot to turn this thing on.
We're not on?
We're on now. But you know, the funny part is, you know, I've been doing so many weird things today that we just had a live show earlier with Eva Hare and Claude, and I completely forgot to hit the on button. You know, it's so many things you have to remember with all this equipment lying around. And I'm
nobody heard what we just said?
Nobody. Well, people heard a few things. They didn't get to hear our little... our little jabbing earlier on, but you might want to repeat yourself. You're good at that.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Okay.
Repeat myself, huh?
Why not?
Well, what point should I start repeating? Hi, this is Wynn, and with my co-host, Don, the Wynn and Don Show, here to create an experiment in internet broadcasting, the goal of which is to create a group consciousness with you listeners through the course of this show. So by the time we're finished, we have tied energy together all around the world, and we invite you to hang in and see if you can be part of that experiment and participate in it. You don't have to do anything. Just listen and go with the flow. And Don, why don't you share some of the new things? Don, just to tell, well, let me see, just a little bit of background. I am the principal author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I've also expressed myself as a songwriter. I've written poetry. I've been a metaphysical journalist and a street vendor. And we won't go into all the other things. Done a lot of different things, and I've been having this experience, and I'd say it's over the past 3 years. Not something I necessarily looked for; it kind of looked for me, of what I call interdimensional communication, communicating with other dimensions in different timelines, and with some of the beings that have been involved with the evolution of mankind, if everything is true. So we might share a little bit of that later. And Don is the founder, the producer, and the workaholic of Login Service. And for those of you who are visiting this login and enjoying it, Don is the guy to give your gratitude to, because he has worked tirelessly and effortlessly to create a very pure venue, not controlled by anything except his own heart.
Well, and thank you. Thank you.
Pardon me?
Thank you, Wynn. Thank
you.
It's
true. And so, you know, those of you who are getting benefit, enjoyment, learning from this site, Don is the person that you owe your gratitude to. And I owe my gratitude, too, for giving me the venue to be able to share with you. And you know, this is something I think that is starting off like a small snowball, because Don, I believe, has picked up the pulse of this transformation that's happening on our planet and doing his best to get the information about that and the inspiration to anyone that visits his website. So, Don, what's new on Login?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. Actually, we've added a couple new sections. One of them, of course, is a little bit along the lines of the Christian belief, but that's it's called Bible Metaphysics, and it was put together by a lady named Nancy Detweiler, and it basically talks about how people of the Christian religion can integrate not only the religious aspects of what they've learned, but tie that into the metaphysical in such a way that it doesn't confuse them. Mm-hmm. That they can now open up their mind. They don't have to adhere to the hardcore religious doctrine that has been put forth by that religion and start to integrate it on a much more conscious level. And so I thought that was quite neat because she has 10 different lessons there, including an introduction and something called Living the Lord on Planet Earth. And so it was a nice little section, but it allows people of the Christian religion to kind of open up their minds. So I was proud to be able to put that section together, and I hope that people will go to it and read it. Then we put another one together, a small one, which will expand greatly, and that's called Proving the Spiritual. And the reason I wanted to add that, because there have been so many people that have emailed me, and I mean so many, and usually it's always about prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. Well, folks, there is enough science out there today, enough observable, quantifiable science that is able to actually do that very thing, prove the spiritual, whether that be dealing in the etheric energy and quantifying that, or measuring how various effects have taken place throughout the solar system and what that means here on the Earth, geographically, to do with humankind and the evolution of the DNA, and so many different aspects. The same thing when it comes to children, the miraculous children we hear about, whether that's the indigo children, children of the blue ray, star children, gifted children, you name it. There's a whole bunch of names for them, and usually those names are because certain people or certain children are located in different areas throughout the world to get specific names. And those children truly are gifted, and science has been able to actually now measure that, their psychic ability, and it's now being put forth quite at length throughout the various scientific communities. So, and of course, there's Ascension 2000, which goes ahead and explains some of the dramatic effects that are taking place throughout the, our solar system. So when we put all that in one cohesive, some cohesive package, we start to get a picture. And that picture really is proving the spiritual. And that's what I am trying to develop now, that section which will grow and grow, and I've got several people working, putting stuff together for that section so that we can go to people that are more scientifically based, more working out of their left side of their brain or whatever you want to call it. These people that need facts, they need figures, they just, if they can't smell it, touch it, taste it, or slap it, they just don't believe it. So maybe we can start to, you know, work along the lines in such a way as to bring these people into the fold. And that's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is awesome. You know, I will say that anybody that truly does a sincere investigation of things will find enough evidence to know that there's far more to life than meets the eye. And it's like, do you want to know that? Or do you want to make pretend it doesn't exist? I really, in my own day, I see day after day people that actually don't want to know. I mean, you can put it in front of them, and you can be as clear as this can be as clear as the table or the chair they're sitting on, and yet they don't see it. They don't look at it. It's an amazing process because the mind is pre-programmed to the way that I see it is people create a reality system, and they're living within the reality system, and they have chosen that reality system, and when something comes that throws their reality system out of kilter, they are blind to it. They don't see it, no matter how clear it is, because they have a very vested interest in keeping the reality system the way it is. And I think all of us do that. All of us, even me and you, Don. And it's like to be able to look at ourselves and see where we do that so we can be open to things where we normally wouldn't be open, where we would shut it down. Like, for example, you know, Edgar Cayce, now this is the first, this is the thing that threw my reality system out of kilter when I was in college and studying physics and had a very linear kind of mind, wanted to prove everything. And then I read Edgar Cayce, and I said to myself, how could this guy exist if it's not true? How could he do 15,000 readings? How could he live on almost next to nothing? How could he be so accurate? And in reading Edgar Cayce, it was one of the things that started to penetrate my own reality system and break it apart. I remember reading, did you ever read Paramahansa Yogananda, Don?
You know, I never did read that.
No? Paramahansa Yogananda is this Indian guy who came to the United States and started this big yoga movement with centers all over the place. But it wasn't yoga like, you know, doing postures. It was a higher form of yoga. I forget, there's a certain name for it. And the guy has a book called Autobiography of a Yogi, where he told his stories, and where he was in India, and he met all these saints, and had all these miracles, and people appearing, and synchronicities. And I read his book, and I said, how could this happen to a person? And then I looked at his face, and I said, he's so sincere looking. Could he possibly be making this up?
Yeah.
I had a conversation with my aunt. I have an 82-year-old Aunt Hattie who lives in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And I hadn't talked to her for a long time, mainly because whenever I talked to her, I didn't know how to say anything that she could relate to in, that I was going through. But recently, I decided I would keep in touch with her because she's getting old enough that I would be really... She is a really nice lady, and I don't have... She doesn't really need to understand me, and I should, you know, I wanted to communicate with her because I didn't want her to pass and not have connection, because when I was young, she was very kind to me. So, in our communication, I started telling her, Aunt Hattie, she's Jewish. I was brought up in a Jewish family. So I said, hey, you know the Elohim? Well, that's, you know, in the Old Testament, that's the word for God. And she said, yes. I said, well, you know, I'm talking to them. They're talking to me. And she starts giggling and laughing, like, how could that be possible? And I said, no, really. Did you know Joanne, my sister, had a miracle? Like, her life was saved because I asked them. And, you know, she gets taken aback. And I said, well, call her and see what happened. You know, check out my website, Conversations with My Girlfriend. That's where I tell the story of this. And she doesn't know how to relate to me. She doesn't know how to connect with the information. And yet, I said, you know, there's only four possibilities here. And the four possibilities are this. Either I'm lying, or I'm delusional.
Or both.
Or I'm both, or I'm telling the truth, and it's really happening, but they're bad guys misleading me, or I'm telling the truth, and they're good guys giving us the correct information. Now, anyone that knows me over a period of time knows that this story is, that my stories are true. There's too many people, there's too many witnesses, you know, there's doctors' reports. There's no way I could possibly make up these stories, nor would I want to. So I'm not lying. Anything I ever say, anyone that wants to have it backed up, can. There's a backup for it. I'm not delusional. Well, if I was delusional, there'd be still no backup for it. I'd be making up stories that I couldn't back up, right? Now, the other question is it positive? Well, this is one of the things that I personally had to evaluate because I had to know that it's positive. I had to look. I had to feel their intent over a period of time. I had to feel their intention. I had to feel like I was being misled. And I think it's positive, but everyone's welcome to draw their own conclusions. The information on the website, the channelings on the website, aren't looking for blind followers. They're not lecturing on how it is, but there's a resonance in the wisdom on those channelings. And so, you know, my Aunt Hattie, she's just scratching her head, and I sent her my little CD of those six songs that I've been working on. And she really liked the songs.
Loved them. You know, I just had a chance to listen to those songs here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you, when I wish you'd have given me the one earlier, because that one song, Traveling at the Speed of Love.
Yeah.
Wow. See, I thought Where My Smile was good, but Traveling at the Speed of Love is fabulous. And then, of course, Lady Lux Wim, yeah. And, I mean, that again was, you know, I didn't find you as that sort of a singer, but you do it extremely well. I was really amazed. I loved, I played that CD probably five or six times till my wife got sick of it.
Oh, she got sick of it.
Well,
I'm going to talk to her again.
I guess she didn't understand why I just kept listening to it. And I'll tell you when. I felt, you know, when we first started talking, you used to tell me how that music gets inside you and it helps me understand who you are,
mm-hmm.
and what you're trying to do. And I got to tell you, that is so true. It's the same sort of thing with John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
He had music that you can't really get to know him until you get to know his music.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tells you who he is. And then you mm-hmm. can get to know him because he is his music.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I see a similar quality in you, because you're right. It helps a person get to know you, and it helps them have such a wonderful feeling about who you are mm-hmm. and what you're trying to do. And it says it just in the musical notes, in the tones, in the dynamics. It was really wonderful. So I just thought I'd say that, because it was overwhelmingly wonderful.
Well, you know, my songs are, three of my songs, right, are available for download for free on the MP3 there.
So yeah.
If anyone wants to hear them, please download them and listen. You know,
And, really, you should offer the CD out for sale, because there are other songs on here that are fabulous, and of course, Wynn's going to have the opportunity to put a CD together, and I think it's going to be just one fabulous, fabulous addition to your collection.
Well, I'd like to have 10 or 12 songs, and maybe this coming week I'll go in the studio and record a few more songs. That was my challenge, to get, you know, 10 or 12. I call the one you have, Don, the beta version.
The beta version.
Right. Which is like in progress, you know, in test, getting response. And, you know, it's something that, well, when I started writing my book and I started having all these interdimensional experiences, I didn't want to put my music out. And the reason was because people would respond to my music so much that I was afraid that it would overshadow the other stuff. And so, you know, people always see you as what you put out, and this other stuff, this, you know, my book on David and everything, is much harder to lay a groundwork for. And I didn't want the public to look at me as a songwriter.
Yeah,
that's just one aspect of what I'm doing this lifetime. But now that I've got my book out, now that I'm, you know, you and I are talking and we're doing the show, I was motivated to put some songs down. And Because now I'm not attached to just being a songwriter. It's part of the whole
package.
Package.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're telling me, that when I say they, these forces that are communicating to me are telling me to use my music, put it out, because it makes me more familiar. It's like a stepping stone to the other stuff. And so that's part of what I'm doing. And what was the topic for today? Downloading creativity.
That's right. Downloading creativity.
So now we got a really good entree into our topic. Right?
That's right.
And I'll share with you a little bit about my own creative process. And you can do some about yours too, Don. Get some of your daily quotes out, because that's part of your creative process that you share with people.
Okay.
But I'll tell you how I started writing. I never, ever dreamed that I was a writer. In fact, I think when I was in college, I got C or D, I don't know, high school, I got a C or D in English. And one time, and I never thought I had an aptitude in English. Never occurred to me. I was scientific. I was technical. I wanted to be an electrical engineer. Then I wanted to be a physics professor. And I saw myself in that kind of a way. But I was a nerd. I was really a bad nerd. And when I say a nerd, I mean I couldn't really relate to people as a human being. I was like, I thought I was really smart, and I thought that was my value, and that I was not in touch with my emotions. I was cut off from my emotions, and, you know, I just was walking around with my shoulders tight, unexpressed, and then I started writing lyrics to other people's melodies. And I just started writing them. I think I initially wrote them because I said, I realized I was a nerd. And I said, maybe some girl will like this. And I started putting it out and playing it. And you know what? People, suddenly I realized that I was having these deep feelings and insights that everybody else was having, except no one was talking about them. Except I was willing to talk about it because I was putting it down in verse, okay? And so suddenly I felt understood. Like I didn't feel so alienated. I felt like people around me would listen to my songs and say, wow, that really touches me. I couldn't even sing in those days. I was just writing. And then I met my friend Jillian when I was in college, who was like my bohemian girlfriend, who was an astrologer and
bohemian
to some of my songs. And suddenly, she really liked them. And she was from New Zealand and had this very high voice. And she said, how about if I sing your songs? And do you play guitar? And so we started a rock and roll band. And, I mean, eventually the rock and roll band broke up, and she and I went on the road in a Volkswagen bus. And so there's this process for me where I get spaced out, and I just start putting things together. I guess it's kind of like channeling almost. I don't even know how it's going to end. It's not like it has a plan or a plot. It just kind of gets its own way, and by the time it ends, I said, well, that really surprises me. And so that's how these songs got written. They got written really, God knows, I can hardly take credit for it, because I just put my pen to the paper, and it starts coming out. Well, I was having phenomenal experiences. I was having transcendental experiences. I was having daily synchronicities, and I wanted to capture it. I said, hey, there's an overlay on this world that I'm noticing and other people don't seem to notice, and I wanted them to notice this overlay, this energy overlay. I'm not describing that well, am I, Don?
Yeah, it sounds good to me. Energy overlay and bohemian.
Bohemian. thank you very much. Well, people are calling it 4D now. They're talking about how the Earth is transitioning from third dimension to fourth dimension. I've come to understand that terminology. But what happened was I was experiencing fourth dimension a little bit early. I mean, I really was experiencing it, and everything was in miracles. And I told some of them on some of the previous shows, so I'm not going to go through it this show. But my goal was to try to translate that into music. And some of the songs that are up there are the results of that, my attempts at translation. And I was doing good, except I was still a nerd. I didn't know how to work the world. The world was, like, overwhelming. I had miracles, and then I had tragedies. And I dropped out after a while. I couldn't handle it. And got lost. I got lost selling What did I do, Don? I sold sunglasses, right?
That's right.
Sunglasses at street fairs. And then, I guess about 6 years ago, I decided that if I have to sell sunglasses at street fairs the rest of my life, I'd rather die.
Or be real good at it.
Or be real good at it. Selling sunglasses?
Yeah.
I was good at it. That's the problem. That's why it was hard to give up. Because it was like a certain degree of freedom, and it was kind of fun, and it was loving the public on one hand. And on the other hand, nothing lasted longer than the weekend. Do you know, when the weekend was over, it was like you were starting over again. It was like starting over all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was, I was at a fair in San Diego, and at the end of that fair, I got a pad, and I started writing poems about selling sunglasses. Did you hear that? I got some of these poems out. I think they're kind of interesting. It shows where I was at prior to starting my book, and prior to writing articles, metaphysical articles, prior to having two girlfriends start channeling the Elohim. Okay. Here's where I came from. This, because I think it's important, because it's part of my track, and it's part of my credibility when people look at somebody and say, where did they come from? How did that happen to them? So you ready? You ready, Don?
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
This is called, I didn't talk about for sex now.
We can talk about that later.
Right. I'm just going to stick my foot in my mouth, right? Is the internet X-rated?
You bring the sunglasses.
This is called a vendor's bird's eye view. Did you ever hear this one? I don't think so.
No.
Okay. This is my first poem. This is what started me on the track here. And this was just me just spacing out on the day and thinking how it was to sell sunglasses at a street fair. Looking into the eyes of the multitude. The eyes as windows to the soul. Young eyes, old eyes, Spanish eyes, black eyes, Arabic eyes, Sephardic eyes, gay eyes, gang eyes, tired eyes, enthusiastic eyes, rock and roll eyes, jazz eyes, in love eyes, lonely eyes, angry eyes, happy eyes, bedroom eyes, kitchen eyes, hurt eyes, silly eyes, dense eyes, wise eyes, friendly eyes, impoverished eyes, the eyes have it. Always telling a story about the being looking through them. 100,000 eyes, 100,000 stories, all connected to one energy. Step down into the physical world via the karmic path of the being. The eyes of the multitude, the eyes of God, looking back at me. P.S. Want to buy a pair of sunglasses.
Well, you've certainly come a long way.
I have, huh?
Yeah.
Now, here's one. Here's an interesting one. I can see you're not liking these, but what the heck.
No, I love them.
You know,
I won't repeat them, but I love them.
I would go to the county fair, and there was this cranky old guy that used to drive around on his golf cart, who owned all the novelties. And he was kind of like the heavyweight of all the vendors, because he had like 50 spaces. You know, the people that have the concessions where they sell all those little balloons on things? And
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
He was the owner of all those concessions. And usually
kiosks.
There was one guy to own them all, okay? And I wrote a poem about him. He died, and it touched me. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that are kind of unsung heroes that hold energy, and they're not like heroes in the normal sense. They don't get credit. I'll bet you some of the people that are listening to the show are like that. You know, but they hold energy for other people. When they're around, other people feel better. They feel together. It's really not what they say, what they do. It's a very internal, subconscious thing. And Alex was one of those kinds of people. And I mean, he had no idea in his logical mind. He wasn't. You would never. I doubt whether he considered himself spiritual, and yet he held energy for all these other people. And he would drive around on his golf cart. Well, here, I'll read the poem. It's opening day at the county fair, and no Alex, driving around on his golf cart. Alex died last year. He was old enough. It was his time. He lived a full life. Folks knew it was coming. He already had one heart attack. He was in charge of the novelty booths at the fair for the past 50 or so years. The booths that sell balloons, Star Wars sabers, the toys you give your kids to keep them quiet. A lot of folks thought that Alex was a cranky old man. But some remember the break that Alex gave them, people hard on their luck, getting their first job at the fair. In fact, everyone who ever worked for Alex had something good to say about him. There's no one to take over Alex's business. Someone else has the contract on novelty booths. The Ferris wheel is still turning. The adolescents are still winning the hearts and bodies of their girlfriends with stuffed animals. Housewives are still buying mops and chamois. But there's a wave of sorrow passing through the hearts of the people who remember Alex, missing his snarly face riding around the fairgrounds on his golf cart. They all knew he was a millionaire, but he never acted like one. He could have easily fit in as a barker at any one of his carnival stands. It's 9:30 p.m. The Ferris wheel freezes to give the riders a chance to view the fireworks. And the fireworks end. The passengers get off, one by one, and a new group waits, ready to board. Alex doesn't live here anymore, and one day, neither will you or I. But the fair will go on. The Ferris wheel will continue to turn. And maybe, just maybe, someone will miss us. Whose heart did you touch today? Okay. That got me emotional at the end.
Yeah, it almost sounded like a eulogy.
Yeah, well, I gave it to his wife, actually. It was kind of like a eulogy.
Yeah.
I gave it to his wife.
That was very nicely written. You know, it's funny. There are so many people in the world that can hold the energy, and sometimes they're just there to hold the energy for their families,
mm-hmm.
for their wives, their husbands, or their brother or their sister, or maybe just for a foster child.
Mm-hmm.
But they really are the unsung heroes, and nobody really thinks about them much at all. But what it comes to show is that we're all beautiful, from the low end to the high end, from
mm-hmm.
from the upper class to the lower class,
mm-hmm.
to the guy who walks the street with a shopping cart and nowhere to go, and all he does is smile, and 'cause he's probably holding the energy for someone else who's in the same position.
He might be holding the grid energy for the whole, Skid Row of downtown L.A.
You know, and it's funny.
There's people that do that.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. And in their matrix, let's call it, they are holding the energy, and people don't see that. All they see is the physical,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to go beyond that. And that hopefully is something as we enter into this. Into the next age of
mm-hmm.
Aquarius, that will change. I mean, people really need to stop looking at people for what they can see and start looking at people for what they can feel. And
mm-hmm.
it goes back to that saying that it's better to think with your heart and feel with your mind than the reverse. And the more I think on that, the more true it sounds, because
mm-hmm.
people have just learned to do exactly the opposite, and it It's turning around. I mean, I feel it. I feel it everywhere. People, I mean, not only on the internet, but the people I talk to, the people I meet in stores, the people that I meet on my walks, the people that I meet in clubs. I mean, it doesn't matter where I go. The people are changing. And I've noticed people, there are some people that are usually quite angry people, but even they're changing. They're starting to soften. Their edges are starting to soften. Their emotions are starting to soften. And I don't know whether that's because of this global shift in consciousness or not. I would tend to think it is, but things are starting to soften and change greatly, and people are starting to come around to the, whether they know it or not, they're starting to come around to the unity that we all are a part of.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is that people are becoming more sensitive.
Yeah, there you go, sensitive.
And not everyone has the words. Not everyone, you know, I think I told you I was doing this book signing at Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been talking about this stuff now. I guess in some ways I've been talking about it all my life. But specifically, my own personal experience has gotten so wacko for the past 3 years. And yet, I've been compelled to talk about it. And, you know, for a while, it was probably partially me, because my own lack of confidence in it. But for a while, it would be so provocative to talk about it, and a little bit scary, and thinking, what are people going to think of me? And lately, you know, I'm calling up newspapers, and they're really interested.
They're responsive. Yeah.
David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce. I mean, it all hangs together as a good story. It's an amazingly good story. And in fact, for people who are looking for proof, I really urge you to study this story. Because within the story, there's probably more proof as to how it all works and what's happening and how the other side is organized than you're going to find anywhere else. And it's a very, very powerful, comprehensive view that's grounded in physical events, things that happened in the physical world. And if you read it, you will connect and know. Just as if you read my story, same way, you will know. Because these things that happen, things that are our history, are the foundation for the beliefs of the future. These are things that you can't hype. These are things that are not transitory. They ground themselves into the collective, and that's why we have stories of Buddha, of Jesus. These were real stories, and they have stood the test of time. And the thing is, what are the stories today that are going to stand the test of time? Can you see it before it's part of the collective? Can you be part of the creation of it? Can you be part of the creation of the transition? Or are you just going to be a passive person watching in the fields, and it all just becomes momentary entertainment? Entertainment that is quickly gone. Everyone has a choice. Right now, there's the field and there's the stands. I should say the stands. When I said the field before, but I meant the stands. Are you just observing and watching? Or are you part of it? Are you part of it? How do you be part of it, Don? How do you be part of it?
Well,
you be part of it by sharing with others. How do you share with others? I mean, at the most simplest level, if your heart's being touched by this show, suggest that other people listen. Find things that represent this higher flow of consciousness. Find things that are not too far out so that it doesn't, people don't exclude themselves in their mind, and have them pay attention to it. Give them a chance to open up. When you give somebody a chance to open up and it works for them, then you become a part of that change in that person for all eternity. You connect with it forever. And by connecting with forever, you've also changed your own destiny slightly.
Yeah.
Each person you change yourself. as well. So you're not doing this to be nice. You're doing it as part of your evolution. As I get it, these higher forces work with us because each thing they change down here, they change themselves also.
You know, there's a great way to do that, too. You know, when you were talking about downloading creativity,
mm-hmm.
you know, I do this myself, and I'd love to encourage everyone to do this. It's such a simple way of waking up in the morning and feeling that sensitivity and that responsiveness in others and getting things to work in tandem. And that is but when you get up in the morning and you think about it, because you're not going to do it unless you think about it. So as soon as you get up in the morning and you think about this, think about wanting to try something new, just spend a few seconds being quiet and then ask for God or Jesus or an ascended master like Buddha, or whoever it is that you feel an affinity towards, to hold your hand. And when you're walking, like when I spend time walking my dog out near the lake, I usually put my hand down to my side and I say, walk with me now. And I usually say that to Jesus. I try to, because I feel a lot of affinity for him, especially after reading A Course in Miracles. But I usually say, you know, will you hold my hand now as I walk this walk? And often I feel the energy there, and I get a great feeling of peace, and I try to keep my mind clear, and I just believe, and I honestly believe it, that he's walking with me, holding my hand at that moment. And we continue to walk together, and I ask for him to share what he feels with me and I with him, and to experience it with him. And so I do that. It's a little funny little thing I do. And if it sounds crazy, well, let it sound crazy. But you can do that even when you're in your worst. And if you're mentally just in a state of confusion or angry or panic or sadness, chaos, and you're out in a busy day, and something just gets you all riled, take a little time, put your hand down to your side. Quiet the mind and ask for God or for Jesus or Buddha or Saint Teresa or Mary Mother.
Or don't even use a name.
Don't even use a name, exactly.
You know what? For some people, there's not a name that they're comfortable
True.
With.
True, but ask
Just
him
say,
to walk with you.
I'm open to receive. What's important is your intent in the question. Just say, I'm open to receive from the highest forces that are paying attention to me. And I service, use the word service to others. You know that little invocation we've been doing at the end of the show, Don?
Yes.
Now, I never mentioned this to you. I do things, and I just don't follow through on them because I don't know how to do it. But I have a website up. Maybe I did. I don't remember if I told you this. I have a website up called PrayItForward.net.
Oh, yes, I've seen that. Yeah, love it. PrayItForward.net.
Did you look at that website?
Yes, I have.
And so it just has that benediction or that invocation. And I have the idea, and I do this. I do this in the course of my day to work with someone as a light. Even if you don't define it as such, we all need the support and energy and from coming back to us. It's hard to be all isolated and insulated when for some of us, everyone around us is kind of going crazy. And so the idea was to just have a light buddy and call somebody up and say this out loud and see if after a while it starts to work, starts to bring in the energy. I know that some of the people that are listening have written this back. And Karen, thank you if you're listening. Thank you for your really beautiful email. It's nice to know that this is working. She wrote us a beautiful email.
Yes, she did. Thank you very much, Karen.
How she was experiencing this energy
mm-hmm.
for herself. And it's something that, because I have this relationship with these group souls, I have this idea that they're paying attention to you right now because you're the listener. And they want to reach you. And they've been connecting with me, and they've made it very clear that they're real. And so I ask if you're open to receive that you can feel that energy, that you can feel that upliftment in your space. And that's the part of that invocation that I think, whether you think of it as God or Jesus or the Elohim or love or the spirit of the universe, it really doesn't matter the name. It just matters your intent and your openness. And your openness to receive and to be sure it's positive. Keep in mind, just because you ask for things, it is possible to get something negative. And you have to keep your intent really on the up and up to make sure that that doesn't happen. Now, what time is it, Don?
Well, we have another 15 minutes, but I was hoping to also thank Gerard, because we know Gerard's always out there listening. He happens to be a regular listener and always writing into us. And Gerard, for we just want to thank you for all that you do and all that you are, because, you know, I've had a lot of wonderful communication with you over the many, many months, and I must say, I love you dearly, and I'm proud of who you are and what you are, and just keep being who you are, because it's just added a dimension to me and has touched me very greatly, and I just thank you.
What country is Gerard in?
Gerard's from the Netherlands.
Uh-huh. I think Karen is in Ohio. My goal is to have like 200 or 300 listeners all over the place that are tuning into this energy and holding it and grounding it where they are. As I've learned to understand this, every human being is like a transceiver for divine energy. And most of us are closed down. Our chakra systems are closed down.
Mm-hmm.
We don't let it flow through us. And so, therefore, this energy that's needed for the planet is cut off. And as I understand it, we get more disasters the more cut off it is. And we're trying, in this broadcast, to take moments where we can open that up and feel it and ground the energy where we are, right where we are, you know, and spread it out into your particular location. We've talked about this before, but there has been experiments done, like by the Maharishi, where they have a bunch of people meditating, and the incidence of violence in a given area goes down phenomenally. So we're trying to create that kind of energy here on the Don and Wynn Show, where we can have hundreds of people listening and feel they're part of it, feel our connection, and do our little part to change the planet in this short hour that we have together. So, I did write a poem about this. Do you know that?
I'd love to hear it.
Let's see. What is it called? I'm turning my old poetry book. I'd like everyone who's listening to imagine, wherever you are, to see this light. This is not the poem. This is me just talking now. Then I'll read the poem. See your light streaming from the top of your head. See it moving into higher dimensions. Just imagine that it might be true. See us all combining out of time in that dimension. See all our spirits communing in this moment. And holding loving energy for our entire planet. And take that energy and send it to the people you care about. Send it to yourself to heal yourself. Ask for things that your heart desires, with the stipulation that nothing should happen unless it's for the highest good of all concerned. Know that it feels like it's your imagination, but it's not. It's real. We are together. In a moment, there is oneness. And here is the poem that I wrote. It's called Breathing. I love breathing with you. My breath gets deeper. The air smells sweeter and fresher as I feel one breath moving through both of our beings. Our rhythms synchronize as we dissolve into nothingness. Our eyes connect with no veils, and for a moment, time stops. Our spirits dance across galaxies to the core of creation and back again. In our return, something's changed. Part of you now lives within each breath I take. Now let's just hold that feeling wherever you are. Imagine yourself a column of light passing through your body, coming from the high heavens into the earth. Some of you will be able to see it and sense it. Others, just imagine it. Imagine it. Mock it up in your imagination. You don't have to be listening to this show to have that experience. Practice mocking it up wherever you are, wherever you go. Take it to your office. Take it to your husband or wife. Take it to your children. Don't lose track of that energy, no matter what happens in the physical world. Learn and practice the discipline of keeping that connection, and realize that nothing is more important than that. And by doing that, you uplift the people around you. You help heal the vibration of our planet, and you open up the pathway for the higher dimensional beings who want to support us, want to help us. You open up the pathway for them to work through you as part of the ground crew. And there's nothing more important that any of you can do every day. So just keep imagining that that's so, and it will become so. And for some of you, it already has become so. Hey, we have to send this energy to your mother, Don. We know she's listening. So this is to, what's your mother's name?
Hildy.
Hildy?
That's correct.
Hildy.
Hildy.
Sending this love to Hildy. And all the others of you who are nameless and faceless, but I can feel you. And I hope maybe next week we'll start opening up the phones and let you share some of your own experiences. Eventually, we're going to be bringing on guests and bringing on things that we hope will help everyone keep their energy, hold their energy at a higher level, and stay out of the negative that's so... we see so pervading many things on our planet now. Anything else you want to say, Don?
You know, I just wanted to say it's always a pleasure to be able to connect with people. And when people write into us and they let us know how they felt or how they liked the show or what they didn't like even, it really is good for us to get feedback because it allows us to... create the show around that feedback, and not just in what we want to do. We want to work with everybody out there that's listening.
Well, you know what it does, Don? It grounds the energy.
And well, exactly.
It makes it real. Do you know? It's like, I know there's a handful of people that are connecting with us, and there's probably other people that are connecting. We can feel their energy. I don't know if you've noticed this, Don, but every week the energy is kind of shifting a little.
I agree.
And we feel your energy. And it's like the more we know who you are, the more you share your frequency, and the more you open yourself up to receiving this energy.
Well, that's right. I mean, again, it's what we intended originally. This isn't for quantity. People, and Wynn has had to teach me that. Actually, I think he banged it into my head for quite some time, and I finally got it. The fact that quantity is not what we're after here. We would rather have one listener, one, that actually tuned into our energy and could help build upon that energy and ground that energy here into our planet and increase the overall group consciousness for the highest good of all concerned. And if we have one quality listener that is doing that with us, that exponentiates that energy. And so it's really all about you and us working together, not a bunch of people listening and not getting it.
That's
so
right.
You know, we really like your feedback, and we would hope that you would write in and tell us your thoughts, and so that we can better do this together.
You know, Don, even if somebody's listening and they think we're wackos, go ahead and tell us. It's okay. Express your feelings. And, you know, we'll do our best to respond.
We'll do our best to respond to you if you call us wackos.
That's
trust
right.
me.
That's right. I can handle it. You know, the thing about it is somebody tunes into this, perhaps, and they haven't listened to us before, don't realize the track we built over the previous weeks. But that's where I recommend that they should read some of the websites. Read My Personal Experience. Read Conversations with My Girlfriend. Read some of my poems on winfree.com. Read my book. First and foremost, read the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Because if you're skeptical and you wonder what's happening, that book probably is one of the more powerful tools on the planet to make it all real. I had a Hollywood producer read the book and say he was an atheist and now he's not. After reading it, it just, you know, he could not, there's no way you could deny the information.
Well, it really is that powerful. I mean, it's, you know, you get into that book and you'll read it in a day or two. You won't be able to put it down. I couldn't.
Mm-hmm. With some people, it takes longer, Don, because it's a lot to integrate. But whether it takes you a day or two or longer,
yeah,
it does present a logical, linear case for a way the whole planet works and administrates itself. And it's powerful.
And that's our signal?
That was girlfriend Y calling me.
Well, we actually have a minute left, so
you know,
that's actually a pretty good signal.
She is so psychically sensitive. And even though, you know, she is so psychically sensitive, that when I get into an expansive space, she feels it. She doesn't even know she feels it, but she always calls me at that moment. Oh, you know what I wanted to share with you? I had a funny synchronicity this week, which, you know the song you were commenting, Travel at the Speed of Love?
Traveling at the Speed of Love, yeah.
So here, I go into a cafe in Sedona, and a girl is wearing a T-shirt that says, Travel at the Speed of Love. Did I tell you the story?
You told me, but tell it again, because that was quite a story.
And so I sit down with her, and we're chatting. It turns out she's manufacturing these T-shirts, and I said, well, geez, maybe I'll get some from you. And so we're talking, and I'm talking a little bit about my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which is about the story of the connection between David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce. And this girl at an adjoining table keeps staring at us. And I ask her, you know, she looks over and she says, "Oh, do you know David Wilcock? I'm an old friend of his from New Paltz, New York." And she was still his friend, actually. Keeps in touch with him. So,
what a small world.
Small world.
Yeah.
And that was in Sedona. So, we're probably going on longer than we should.
So we should probably close it with one of your famous prayers.
Well, I thought I kind of did it already.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
I didn't do the same words, but I kind of did it in, you know, calling it in with different words. So we'll just, right at this moment, let's just keep the light around all of us. Let's send the light to all the people we care about, to the people that are in hurricane country, to the people that have passed recently, to even our political administration. Let's just keep love going through our entire planet and to each other. And we hope, really hope, that you'll join us here next week and feel like this is not something that we're doing to you, but that we are doing with each other, creating something out of nothing, right in this moment. Okay? God bless you all.
God bless you all. Thank you very much for listening, and we hope that you tune in again next weekend. And remember to tune into our other shows that are happening usually in the evenings about every day. And the lineup is growing, so we hope that you'll tune in, find something of interest, and review the website, The Dawn and Wind Show, and read through some of the information there, and of course throughout the rest of the website. And again, thank you for tuning in, and God bless you all. You have been listening to a Blog In Broadcasting service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.